Ramsey TV.
Greetings, everybody. This is Martin Zender here at MZTV. First of all, I want to clarify something I said yesterday. I think I freaked a few people out when I was commenting on Romans 1:16, that the evangel is God's power for salvation for those who are believing. I said that I'm not sure the cross of Christ without the evangel, without the pronouncement of the word, was good for salvation. And some of you kind of freaked out, and I don't blame you, because I really didn't clarify myself. Christ saved the whole world at the cross, whether they believe or not. The whole world is saved. I was speaking of believers. The key phrase there that I did not emphasize, and I apologize for that, Romans 1:16, the evangel is God's power for salvation for those who are believing. Those who are believing hear the message of the gospel, which is heralded. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless it is heralded? And so the message is heralded, and it is believed by who? By believers. But apart from that, please know that, of course, I believe that Christ alone, whether anybody believes him or not, everyone is saved for eternal life. But it's aeonian life. Specifically to believers to whom this verse applies. And the evangel is God's power, the evangel alone. When people hear that without adornment, without human works added, it's such an attractive message. It's so powerful that when they hear it, and if they can hear it without all the crap added to it, they believe it. And when people believe it, you see, when they believe it, they come into aeonian life. And that's where the power comes in, practically, for their lives, for the lives of those who believe it in this era, for aeonian life. I'm glad I got to correct that. Now, in the show before last, the second show that I did with the pirate and Greg Davis, we had a comment from a fellow believer named Dave McCullough, and he sounds like a real sweet guy. I haven't met him. I don't know him personally, but he is an adherent of the Acts 28 position, and he made a public comment that I'm going to comment on, and it's really illustrative of this teaching, which is a terrible teaching, and it's an erroneous teaching. I'm going to talk a little bit about it today. This has to do with our snatching away. Oh, yes. This has to do with our expectation. You can see the title of this show. Which do you prefer, poof or the snatching away? Martin, why would you use the word poof? Well, you're about to find out why I'm going to use the word poof. Again, welcome to the show. In this era, Clyde Pilkington, my friend and our fellow believer, yes, he is a believer, he adheres, and he's a main teacher now, he's a main passer honor of this terrible teaching known as the Acts 28 theory. The Acts 28 theory says this, that only part of Paul's letters are for us. Paul's early letters are for an immature body of Christ, which really wasn't the body of Christ at all, it's for Israel. And not until Paul was in prison in Acts chapter 28 did his evangel start. And the only letters of Paul that apply to us today are the letters he wrote from prison. I'm not even kidding you. This is actually a teaching. And our brother, Dave McCullough, believes it. And I'm going to read his comments, because his comments are very helpful. Because as I've always said, the best proof against the Acts 28 teaching is the proof offered for it. That's how bad it is. I have nothing personal against Dave McCullough. I don't even know him. He ends his comment with grace and peace, and I answered him. You can read it. I answered grace and peace, and it's all about grace and peace. This is just about teaching. But Dave McCullough, along with Clyde Pilkington, does away with the snatching away. They say that the snatching away is not for us. In fact, Dave says that there is no redemptive truth in Romans. If you can believe this, ladies and gentlemen, the people who believe in this Acts 28 thing. Acts 28:28 is when Paul is in prison. And he tells the Jews who come to him that, well, you have rejected Christ. And he quotes the Isaiah prophecy. You know, you have ears that don't hear, eyes that don't see. And, you know, the gospel goes to the nations. It's the third time that this Isaiah prophecy has been quoted to the Jews. But according to these Acts 28:28 people, this is a magical point where Paul's gospel starts. Everything before that, Paul's been talking to Israel. They actually believe this. That until before Paul was in prison in Acts 28:28, he never spoke to the nations. It was all to Israel. So none of Paul's letters before he's in prison, as an old man at the end of his career, none of that applies to the body of Christ. It's all for Israel. Can you believe it? I mean, 1 Corinthians, it's not a letter to us, according to these people. Clyde Pilkington, Dave McCullough, and others. I don't know how anybody grasps onto this. I really don't. But I have a theory, and I'm going to give you the theory today. It's a theory. It's an educated guess. Very educated guest, because I lived with Clyde Pilkington for a year and a half. I love the brother, and he is a brother, and so is Dave McCullough. Don't think otherwise. But this teaching is damaging. It's ridiculous. It's hurtful, because it does away with our expectation of being snatched away. It does away with the beautiful truth Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that the era is limited. And it basically settles people in to this life. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I think this Acts 28 teaching caters to people. This is just my theory. I'm sorry if this offends anybody. I think this theory caters to people who love the current eon. I'm going to tell you why I think that. A lot of it has to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because according to them, none of Paul's early letters are for the body of Christ. These people are splitting Paul. They're dividing Paul. Yes, we're to correctly cut the word of truth, but we're to correctly cut the gospel of the uncircumcision from the gospel of the circumcision. We're not supposed to cut Paul. We're not supposed to divide the body of Christ. Paul was all for unity. If he knew that his letters were being cut, letters with his name on it, Paul says, my name on my letter certifies my gospel. If he knew that his letters were being cut, he would be incensed. He would be doing what I'm doing right now from his car. That's what he would be doing. Galatians, an early letter. Paul talks about the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. Paul's talking about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, an early letter. The body of Christ. The thing is, these Acts 28 people think that because Paul is revealing immature truth early on and mature truth later on, like from his so-called prison epistles when he's in jail, because he's revealing mature truth then, they think that that's the only truth, and that the immature truth, some would call it immature truth, that's what they call it. I don't call it that. It's just Paul doled out his message as he went. He doled it out throughout the years, but it was still Paul to the nations. He calls himself the apostle of the nations in Romans, an early letter. The apostle of the nations calls himself that in Romans. But because of this crazy teaching, and it's crazy. I believe it's crazy. I'm sorry. There's other words I want to call it, but I'll be polite. I'm going to read Dave's comments, and you'll see what I'm talking about. This is purely on a doctrinal basis, nothing personal whatsoever. I hope everybody understands that. And I believe behind this is a love of the eon. Now, I lived with Clyde for a year and a half, and I think I can say this to you. I asked Clyde, I said, you don't believe that we're going to be snatched away? And I didn't find this out till later. Actually, I didn't find this out till later. I didn't know this while I was living with him because he kept it hidden. He didn't come out with this. He kept it hidden. And as soon as Clyde and I had a disagreement about marriage, then he let it loose. He believed this all along. But I never noticed that all the conferences I taught with Clyde, he never brought up the snatching away of the body of Christ. Now I realize why. He doesn't believe it. It's not for us. It's for Israel. Israel! How the, when the, why the, when was Israel ever promised to be snatched away and meet Christ in the air? Well, they believe that Israel's going to meet Christ in the air and then come back down to earth. It's not for us. What is for us? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we are to be manifested. And this is true. But what I'm going to tell you is going to be so entertaining, you might actually get a chuckle out of it. And Dave is right along with Clyde on this topic. And maybe other people are, I don't know. But I'm going to dissuade everybody I can from this teaching, from this theory. Throw away half of Paul's letters. Throw away Romans. Throw away 1 Thessalonians. Throw away Corinthians. Corinthians, as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. I suppose, they believe that. But we're just borrowing Israel truth. That was a message Paul gave to Israel. Now, Paul's a minister of the nations from the jump. Just because he went to the synagogues when he was first called doesn't mean he's not the apostle of the nations. He went to the synagogues to prove that Jesus was the Christ. He had a dual ministry early on. He was so excited finding out that Jesus was the Christ. He couldn't wait to look at all the Old Testament prophecies that he had overlooked before. He says, oh my gosh, I see it now. Isaiah 53. There it is. Psalm 22, the 22nd Psalm. There it is. Paul realized it's all there. Why? He was so excited. He couldn't wait to tell his brethren according to the flesh that Jesus was the Christ. But after that, at the same time, he would then talk to the nations concerning his evangel. But you're not going to find any of this in the book of Acts, as I said before. I'm in chapter 3 of Colossians. Be disposed, verse 2, be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth, for you died and your life is hid together with Christ in God. Now, here's the verse that the Acts 28:28 people really tout, and I tout it too. It's a great verse. Listen to this. Verse 4, Colossians chapter 3. Whenever Christ our life should be manifest, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory. You also shall be manifested together with Christ in glory. Yes, when Christ is manifested, we're manifested with him in glory. I love that truth. Now, knowing that Clyde believed this Acts 28:28 nonsense, that Paul's ministry to the nations didn't start until he was an old man, 2 months from getting his head chopped off. Are you kidding? I'm sorry. It's hard to believe. Paul doesn't start his ministry until he's an old man ready to get his head chopped off? It's not true. I found out Clyde believed this. My mind was blown. I said, okay, Clyde, let me see if I get this straight. You believe, since Colossians was a prison epistle, oh, and this, I must tell you this. The Acts 28:28 people, that because Paul told the Jews that, you know, God has cast you aside in Acts 28:20. Read it for yourself, Acts 28:20. It's such a non-passage. Let me read it to you, since the whole movement is based on this one passage. It's so anticlimactic that they make a whole movement out of this. Are you ready for this? They make a whole movement out of this. Acts 28:28. Let it be known to you then, Paul speaking to the Jews from his Roman prison, let it be known to you then that to the nations was dispatched this salvation of God, and they will hear. That's Acts 28. That's it. To the nations was dispatched. Was. The Acts 28:28 lovers missed that word. Was dispatched. Yeah. Like 30, 5 years before, 40 years before, it was dispatched. It's not starting here. Paul is just once again telling the Jews what he's been telling them for 40 freaking years. So they're all hot and heavy on Colossians 3, 4. So am I. I'm hot and heavy on being manifested before God at the throne of God. That's great. I love it. So I'm asking Clyde one day, after I found out he believed this, I said, okay, so you believe we're just going to be manifested before Christ? Yes. I said, I do too. But you don't believe in the snatching away? No. Okay, so let's say that at the time, when it's time to be manifested before Christ, there are some people standing in line at the checkout at Walmart. I said, okay. I said, so you believe that just suddenly they're going to be manifested at the throne of God with Christ? When Christ is manifested, they will be manifested also. Right? You believe that, right? Yes, I absolutely believe that. Okay, but can you explain to me how they get from the checkout line at Walmart to the right hand of God? He didn't have an answer. I said, could it be that they get there via the snatching away? Is that the missing link that we're going to be manifested? Is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, the missing link between standing in line at Walmart and being manifested before the throne of God? Is that the procedure that makes it happen? And you know, after that, you know what teaching Clyde adopted? Clyde now says, and he teaches this, and I made a show on this a few months back. Clyde believes that every member of the body of Christ will die. I can't make this up. I wouldn't be telling you this if it wasn't true. I read it in one of his newsletters, one of his daily goodies. Every member, Clyde believes, every member of the body of Christ will die. And will probably be dead for hundreds of years before they're manifested. This is to prevent them from being snatched away, because Clyde and Dave and other people refuse to accept Paul's early letters as belonging to them. This is a rabbit hole that not even the rabbits go into. And Dave McCullough believes exactly this. Let me read to you the comment from MZ. I made a show, MZTV 1193. This was the second show I made with Greg Davis and the pirate, Mark Haukes. This is a quote from Dave McCullough. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are his new body. First of all, where in Ephesians does Paul say we're his new body? A new body. You see, they have to make up this new body because according to the Acts 28:28, and I just read the verse, there's nothing there. It's just business as usual for Israel. The new body, because they believe that everything before Acts 28:28, and plus, oh, this. Nobody knows exactly which letters Paul wrote from prison. Since the Acts 28:28 people think that only the letters Paul wrote from prison after Acts 28:28 apply to us. See, it's after Acts 28:28. Nothing started for the body of Christ. Nothing started until Acts 28:28. Paul, an old man with a beard this long, in prison. Now we're going to get down to the work. Now I'm going to start my calling. Now I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do, to go to the nations. Absolutely absurd. But the thing is, nobody knows for sure which letters Paul wrote from prison. But the Acts 28:28 theory depends on knowing. But nobody knows. And if it was so damn important, which it's not, then Scripture would have said, and Paul wrote Colossians from prison, and he wrote Philippians from prison, and he wrote Ephesians from prison, and what else? You know, it would have said, but it's not important. Thus, this whole theory. Okay, there's that. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are his new body. See, they believe that there was an old body of Christ before the magical line of Acts 28:28. It's not a magical line at all. It's nothing. It's just Paul declaring once again that Israel is hard of hearing, poor eyesight, quoting Isaiah again, and this was the final thing for Israel. I will say that. Like, okay, Israel, it was official, but it was official to Israel, but in my mind, it was official to God back when the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. That's when Israel was finished. But God gave them chance after chance after chance, speaking relatively throughout the book of Acts. And this was their last chance. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe this was their last chance. And Paul says, okay, to the nations was dispatched this word. To the nations was dispatched 40 freaking years ago. Dave McCall, it says, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are his new body. Give me the verse for that. New body, you made that phrase up, Dave. I love you. You watch the show. I appreciate that. Please don't stop watching the show. I respect your opinion. That's why I don't delete comments for people who disagree with me. New body? We have to be careful. This is Dave again, quote. We have to be careful in Romans. You can look at this quote for yourself. Go to MZTB 1193. It's a public comment, which is why I'm reading it. If Dave had sent this to me privately, I would not be reading it. We have to be careful in Romans for identifying redemptive truths for us today. What? We have to be careful in Romans for identifying redemptive truths for us today? There are no redemptive truths in Romans for us today. There are nothing but redemptive truths in Romans. That's like saying, don't expect to find any mufflers at Midas. Don't expect to find any hamburgers at McDonald's. Don't expect to find any redemptive truths in Romans. That's not for us. That's an old letter. Doesn't apply to the new body of Christ. That's the old body of Christ, i.e. Israel. It's not for us. It's like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I'm almost incensed. Just about. Close. I'm not there yet. Now listen to this. Colossians 3, 2 through 4, and I just read that to you. We shall be manifested when Christ our life is manifested. We also shall be manifested with him in glory. Is our manifestation to the celestials with Christ. I agree with you, Dave. Absolutely agree with you. Thessalonians rapture passage has to do with Israel and the Gentiles saved during Acts. This is an absurd statement. Thessalonians rapture passage. What's the rapture? We're talking about the snatching away. Has to do with Israel. Where does it say that? You're making that up as you go. Paul's writing to the nations. The Thessalonians are not Israelites. They're the members of the nations. How is it that 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, the great snatching away verse that we're all looking forward to, Dave says, nope, stop looking forward to it. And Clyde has actually said, and I quote, don't waste your time looking for the return of Christ. Clyde thinks the return of Christ is 500 years away, at least. Don't waste your time, Clyde says. I've quoted him before. I swear to God, it's a quote. Don't waste your time looking for the return of Christ. To me, there's only one of two choices. Either you love Christ's appearing or you love the eon. There's no other choice. Thessalonians rapture passage has to do with Israel and the Gentiles saved during Acts. And the Gentiles saved during Acts. What do you mean during Acts? The book of Acts chronicles Paul's entire career from his calling to his death. So, how is it that this is just such a loosey-goosey phrase, Gentiles saved during Acts? I'm not sure you even understand it. It just makes no sense to me. This is a resurrection that takes place at the end of the tribulation. All right, you're just saying that. You have no evidence for it whatsoever. What's your evidence that 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, the snatching away, not the rapture, thank you very much, takes place at the end of the tribulation? No, this is part of Paul's gospel. We are not appointed to indignation. You're forcing this to be speaking of Israel. There's nothing in the context that makes this passage be referring to Israel. It refers to the body of Christ. And it doesn't happen after the tribulation. That would be absurd, because we are not appointed to indignation. We are God's ambassadors of peace, and we shall not be on this earth when God declares war on the earth. This is a detrimental teaching. This is why I'm going crazy about it. I'm doing this for a reason. This is damaging to your faith. Dave is probably a great guy, but he's misled by this, and Clyde is helping mislead many people, not many, I hope, just a few, into this teaching. This teaching was not invented by Clyde. It was invented by Charles Welch, just so you know. This is a resurrection that takes place at the end of the tribulation. No evidence offered whatsoever, because there is no evidence for it. Dave, again, I'm quoting, notice the difference in passages from Thessalonians to Colossians. What's the difference? Colossians is the result. Thessalonians is the means. Just like I asked Clyde, how do we go from the standing at the Walmart? See, after I made that comment to Clyde, after I pinned him on that, it's like, well, don't you think that 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17 is a great description? Is a great description of the process by which people go from standing in line at Walmart to the right hand of God? That would explain it. But they're so sure that, no, Thessalonians is not for us, not for us, not for us. If I have time, I'm going to tell you why. Look at the time. I can't believe this. I could do an hour every day, I swear to you. I don't understand. Notice the differences in the passage from Thessalonians to Colossians. I don't know what differences. There's no difference. We have nothing to do with trumpets. Where does this come from? We have nothing to do with trumpets. 1 Corinthians 15, at the last trump, we will be changed from mortals to immortals at the last trump, at the command of God. We have a lot to do with this trumpet, the trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15. We have nothing to do with the seventh trump in the book of Revelation, but here, of course, we have a lot to do with this. Here's the thing. Our meeting the Lord in the air, we are manifested, poof, in the celestials. I swear to you, my friends, I am quoting Dave. Our meeting the Lord in the air, he doesn't believe that. Instead, we are manifested, poof, in the celestials. See, he doesn't believe we meet the Lord in the air. Rather, this is what he believes. This is his doctrine. We are manifested, poof, in the celestials. Well, I'm glad Dave put a word to what Clyde believes. It's poof. That's how you go from being in line at the Walmart checkout to the right hand of God. It's poof. You just suddenly appear. You're just suddenly manifested before the throne of God. How does this happen? How does this happen? How do we get from Walmart to the right hand of God? Well, Dave has a word for it. Clyde did not have this word at his disposal. I wish he did. It's a very scriptural word. It's very, not really. It's a very technical word. Watch out for it. The word is poof. Poof. This is my question to you. Do you believe in poof? Or do you believe in the snatching away of the body of Christ? Because the snatching away of the body of Christ, Paul explains how we go from the checkout line at Walmart to the right hand of God. We shall not all die. Clyde says we will all die. It's Clyde's teaching. Clyde Pilkington. It's dangerous teaching. It's false teaching. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. He says that every member of the body of Christ will die. Paul says we shall not all die. I have to close with this. I should close now, because that was a hell of a high point right there. But, you know, it's not all about aesthetics here. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. Paul says, this I am averring, brethren, the era is limited, that furthermore, those also having wives may be as though not having them. The era is limited. Clyde has an article, and I've quoted it many times, called The Era is Unlimited. Okay, get this straight. Paul says the era is limited. That is, the time we're living in is limited. It's coming to a close. Clyde says it's unlimited. Clyde says this belongs to a previous administration. Doesn't belong today. Paul, this doesn't apply today, Clyde says. Now, Clyde is a great husband and a father. He's into patriarchy. I respect that. I lived with a man. He's an excellent father, an excellent husband, the best of the best, the cream of the crop. But I believe personally that his love of his family and his kids and his grandkids is affecting his teaching. And he is grasping for any teaching which would extend this eon. Clyde has also grasped the teachings of Otis Sellers, who says that the return of Christ is 500 years away. So if you love this eon, you're gonna grasp onto teaching. You're going to look for teaching, which delays the return of Christ. You don't want to hear verses like this, that the era is limited, that those who are having wives be as not having them. And I read one of the things Clyde wrote on this, and he said, are you telling me Paul is telling men to be as though they're not having wives? That's bad advice. And Paul, and Clyde said, anyone taking Paul's advice here, that those having wives be as though not having them, anyone following this advice, said Clyde, would pretty soon lose his wife. Clyde believes that this belongs to another era when Paul believed, and Dave is affirming this in a later comment. I don't have time to get to it, but in a comment on yesterday's show, Dave said that Paul believed when he wrote 1 Corinthians that the Israel kingdom was near. Paul believed that. And so Paul thought that the end was going to be soon. And so Paul said at that time, the era is limited. And those having wives be as though not having them. So these gentlemen think that the era Paul was writing about in 1 Corinthians 7 was a different era that we're in today. It's not. It's not. It's the same era. But these guys love their families, love their wives, love their grandkids. Of course you should. I'm all for loving your wife, your grandchildren, your kids. I'm all for it. But you can't love it at the expense of turning a blind eye toward obvious truths that apply to today, because they don't read on. If you read on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, let those having wives be as not having them, as though Paul would give bad advice about marriage at any time. Would Paul at any time give bad advice concerning marriage? Clyde says, if anybody follows what Paul's saying here, he'll soon lose his wife. That was truth for that day. Wait a minute. Would Paul give bad advice? Would Paul give advice to a husband that would cause him to lose his wife during any era? If Paul thought that the end was near in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul would tell some husbands to mistreat their wives so that they would be apt to leave them? It's absurd. And he goes on, Paul goes on to say, and this is, Clyde never goes on. When he's quoting this passage, he never continues. Always stops it at those, let those having wives be as though not having them. Paul also says, and those lamenting is not lamenting, and those rejoicing is not rejoicing, and those buying as not retaining, and those using this world as not using it up. So apparently, since this era is past, you're supposed to use this world now and use it up. You're supposed to buy stuff and just love it and pet it and squeeze it and hug it and cuddle it. I love this stuff. Hold on to it. Hold on to your wives tightly. Hold on to your kids tightly. Forget about the return of Christ. That's not going to happen. That's 500 years away. You don't have to worry about that. Instead, live for today and live for the next. Live to see your grandkids, because Christ isn't coming, and you're wasting your time looking for the return of Christ. I think that this whole Acts 28:28 position comes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. They need to get rid of this. They need to get rid of the phrase, the era is limited. But even in Paul's day, I swear to you, the era is limited. And we're constantly to think of it as limited. Otherwise, you would have to say that it's fine today to use the world as much as you can. It's fine today to retain things that you are buying. No, but this truth is true in every era. It's the doctrine of hold loosely. Hold loosely to your wife. Love your wife. Love your kids. But hold loosely to them, because they're on loan to you from God. The things you buy, the things you eat, your possessions, your car, your house, hold loosely to it, because it's going away. This is true in 1 Corinthians 7, in Paul's era. It's true today. This is a universal truth for the body of Christ. It is timeless. It's timeless. Acts 28:28 is a huge deception. We're not looking for a poof. We're looking for the snatching away.